Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey with you today on the show that we call Fesco and Dusty. Not a good Thursday night football game this week. Not a good Sunday morning football game this week. Thursday night football game is quite brutal.
Denver and Saints?
Yeah, not into that.
Aren't you going to be interested to see what kind of reaction we get from the crowd when Sean Payton returns to New Orleans?
It is Spencer Rattler versus Bo Nix.
Well, I guess you're not going to be interested then to see that response that he gets when he returns to New Orleans.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
ALCS Game 3 will be Thursday night.
Yeah.
Or is it NLCS Game 3 Thursday night?
Both NLCS are playing Game 3 is tonight.
Tonight,
NLCS
so
would be 4.
Okay,
gotcha. And then Game 3 would be Thursday night, Yankees
yeah.
at
so
Cleveland.
So which game will be the primetime game? Yankees at Cleveland or Dodgers at Mets?
What'll be?
I would imagine it's Dodgers at Mets is probably
yeah,
the front.
Because Cleveland.
Yeah, nobody cares about them.
Right. I mean, we can find out for you real quick.
There's no way to tell.
No, there is. Dodgers, Mets at 7:08. Yankees and Guardians at 4:08 on Thursday.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely does, yeah.
Yankees up 2-0. The other series tied 1-1.
Aaron Judge finally hit a postseason home run.
It was a big one, too.
Yeah.
Put the game away.
Yes, it did.
And it was a deep fly to center field that even he didn't know he got enough
yeah,
of.
Right. Like, well, why would you think if you're Aaron Judge, you got a home run in the playoffs?
I mean, he did, yeah, in the playoffs. Guys hit 50 home runs in the regular season, 50-plus, and then hits a bomb to center field and was like running to second base before he even realized it was gone.
Did you see the dude for Cleveland drop the fly ball early on?
On
the
Aaron Judge.
Yeah. And I tweeted, I go, looks like the Guardians have been infested by the Browns, man.
Like
that Browns play out there. Kids at California Trail were playing better football than the Cleveland Browns play.
Somebody else also chimed in from the 816. I moved to Missouri for a woman. She didn't last, but now I have Mahomes.
It worked out.
So there's that. Went from wedding pictures to Super Bowl pictures quickly. But no, I want to dive into Defensive Player of the Year, because I think a lot of people probably thought Aiden Hutchinson was going to run away with it. The guy had, what, like 6 sacks in a game earlier this year? And then,
well, he was, wasn't he?
I think so.
Or TJ Watt.
Yeah, he's always going to be a top candidate. And it makes you think, because at the beginning of the year, a name that's on the list now at third was way lower. And according to DraftKings, right now the favorite is TJ Watt at plus 100. Will Anderson Jr. is the second favorite at plus 450. And Stone Cold Chris Jones is third at plus 600, tied with Nick Bosa at plus 600. So 6-1 odds to win Defensive Player of the Year. There's still some juice to be had for Chris Jones.
I see it at 8-1 odds as well at betonline.ag. Now, that's not a site where you can go levy your bet, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you do one of the ones in Kansas like FanDuel and whatnot, if you can get 8-1, even 6-1 on Chris Jones, don't you like those odds?
I do like 6-1 with Chris Jones because he's had his bye.
Yeah.
They're going to go through a run where they're going to play some offensive lines that are not that great. And he's got a big time to show it this week against Brock Purdy, who's not necessarily a statue, but he can cause havoc against Brock Purdy. Obviously, we saw that the last time in the Super Bowl with a big batted pass that kind of saved the game. But it's interesting because obviously the unfortunate that happened to Aiden Hutchinson and TJ Watt once again being the favorite, it's like you take TJ Watt out of the mix, which you can't, but like, injuries have always kind of plagued his career a little bit.
I hate to say that, but at some point, he's going to get hurt, right?
Right. And I mean, it's also the point, like, I understand that, like, the MVP always goes to the quarterback, and we can find reasons why maybe somebody else should get it, like a Derrick Henry right now could be the MVP of the league, even though I think a lot of people might give it to Baker through the first 6 weeks, which I think is well-deserved, 15-5, leading the league in passing and touchdowns and all that sort of thing. Tampa Bay is relevant again because of him.
Because of him,
They had a little skid between him and Tom Brady. Then last year they were a playoff team. This year they look like they're going to be a playoff team and win the South. Not a tough task to win the NFC South.
But Atlanta's a good team.
Yeah, but you know, you still win your division, you should get credit.
Right.
But Chris Jones, man, like, interior linemen don't normally get it unless you're Aaron Donald.
Right.
And Mac had mentioned this yesterday that unfortunately Chris Jones in his entire career has gone against two juggernauts, maybe three if you count Myles Garrett, who won it last year. But J.J. Watt from the past ruined Justin Houston's chance at winning a defensive MVP. Justin Houston had one of the best defensive seasons I've ever seen. And J.J. Watt just happened to be the guy that could score touchdowns, strip sacks, and all that sort of thing as well.
He was pretty remarkable, wasn't he?
But this is a year where, like, I don't want to say Chris Jones is sneaky good because it's just like the contract conversation last year kind of had a rough spell in Kansas City, had a decent year, hit his sack incentive. And then this year with all of the pressures, and I think at least three times a game, fellas, we can watch that game. And all of a sudden you just see big red, white 95 break through the line and the whole offense is just completely ruined. It may not end in a pick or a fumble or a sack, but the amount of pressure that he creates causes the quarterback to go, oh, crap, and it ruins everything.
Chris Jones is having one hell of a season, and I give Chris Jones so much credit in the world because he got paid and could very easily just sit back and say, that's it, I got paid for you, owed me this money, I don't need to go bust it. This dude is busting it, and he's having a hell of a year. And so with Aiden Hutchinson dropping out of the mix, obviously, if you can get 6-1 or 8-1 on Chris Jones to win your Defensive Player of the Year award, probably should throw a couple of bucks that way because mm-hmm. the only guy that truly is a favorite over him is T.J. Watt, and as we know, and the track record has been there, T.J. Watt doesn't play a full season. At some point in time, he's going to miss games. That's just his body, his makeup, and who he is, right? Now, if he doesn't miss any games, I'll eat my words, and he's your Defensive Player of the Year. But I think this is called gambling for a reason, right? Mm. You're gambling that Chris Jones is going to end up being better than T.J. Watt. Play that full season. Will Anderson Jr. is going to make a case, as Mac talked about earlier. His numbers are a little bit better, but he has one more game right now than Chris Jones. But I still don't understand. I don't believe that he's a big enough household name to get a Defensive Player of the Year over Chris Jones. Like, if it's neck and neck with those two guys, I think everybody's going to lean towards Chris Jones' overall body of work and who he is and whatnot, right? Like, I think that's where you go. The only person I think right now, after, 6 weeks of a season, that's standing in Chris Jones' way, to me, is T.J. Watt. And I don't expect T.J. Watt to play the whole season. So that's kind of the way I look at it. I think Chris Jones can be sneaky good money for you.
This award ticks me off because it's just so sack-based, and defensive tackles just struggle to get the amount of sacks that defensive ends do because they don't get one-on-ones like Will Anderson does.
And that should raise Chris Jones. Like, when Chris Jones gets 10 to 12 sacks a year, that's akin to getting 15 to 17 on the outside, is it not? I don't know.
Absolutely it is. And he had 15 and a half, I believe, last year in the inside.
No, that was 2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, because last year he needed 10 last year, I think, to get that bonus. Then he got, but he missed the first game.
But he's had a season with 15 and a half sacks in the defensive line. Will Anderson, 5.5 sacks right now, 4.5 of those. Three of them come against New England, and the other one comes against Chicago. So, I mean, that's just cool. You sacked Drake May on the worst offensive line. Awesome.
Yeah, against the New England Patriot team where the owner's out there, talking trash on a man who won 6 championships.
Yeah, and Will Anderson's a good player, but just different class.
Yeah, it's Chris Jones, man.
Yeah,
like, he's your best defensive lineman interior in the NFL. And if he's up there at the end of the year and he's putting up these numbers, maybe some people will vote for him over T.J. Watt. But T.J.'s so tough to look past. He's so freaking good, man. Like, I mean, he's just unbelievably awesome.
I mean, you look at Pittsburgh, right? And you ask yourself, how is that team 4-2?
T.J. Watt.
Their defense.
Yeah.
Right? You look at the Chiefs, why is that team 5-0? The first name that you bring up is not Chris Jones in the defense. Maybe it is, but a lot of people will say, well, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's the Andy Reid coach team. It's like, what about 95?
Yeah.
Who's an all-pro defensive tackle, going to be a Hall of Famer, going to be a Chiefs Ring of Honor, but it's like, yeah, but they have Patrick Mahomes. Like, the Steelers are 4-2 because they have a good defense, and they have Justin Fields / Russell Wilson. Nobody in the hell of their right mind knows what's going on there.
Right.
And, look,
you could have said Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago. Yeah, but they got Patrick Mahomes. The defense has been carrying this team for the last year and a half. Like, it's not wrong to mention Chris Jones is one of the big reasons why this team is sitting at 5-0 right now.
And Chris Jones has a chance to really put some numbers in that category, as the Chiefs' next opponents are, as you know, the 49ers, the Raiders, the Buccaneers, the Broncos, the Bills, and then the Panthers. And when you look at the most sacks allowed in a season, the Browns, Patriots, Bears, Seahawks, Raiders, Bucks. So there's two games back-to-back where Chris Jones could really wreak havoc as the fifth and sixth most sacks allowed.
Yeah.
He'll play them in back-to-back weeks. So continue to be you, control what you can control. Even if you don't win the Defensive Player of the Year award, you're still the Defensive Player of the Year, tied probably with Trent McDuffie on this defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's great. You've got two All-Pros on this defense right now and a Hall of Fame if they were to put assistant coaches in and a coordinator in Steve Spagnuolo. Like, things are really good on the defensive side of the football. I love watching these guys play defense, man.
And if you think Chris Jones really wants to get the award, you'll start seeing him move outside.
Oh, God, yes. You know what I mean?
And he's done that a couple times this year where he's been like, you know what, George, why don't you move in? I'm going to come outside and we'll see what happens.
Right.
So we'll see. I would love it if Chris Jones got it. It'd be an amazing award to give for the Kansas City Chiefs because it would really show, I think, and solidify that maybe this team this year is a defensive first team as opposed to always being an offensive first team, which is mind-boggling for the league to actually get their mind wrapped around.
It's amazing. They've been trying to figure out the Chiefs, and all of a sudden Chiefs go, you know what we're going to do? We're going to throw you a turn here. We're going to get really good on defense over the next couple years and beat your ass that way.
That's right. One more time, we bring up the Royals, and then we will get into what was the wide receiver discussion yesterday that set the world on fire in the NFL. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Rolling right along on this Wednesday morning.
Yeah, picking up new listeners, too. All the kids at California Trail listening to our segment this morning, Dusty. Look at them all gathered around, listening to the phone, right? All the kids win the city championship.
That's cool.
Led by Tommy and the fellas all listening
that
this morning.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys.
California Trail city champs yesterday. 4 overtime thriller.
12-6 final score.
12-6 5. So I text, like, we're going to overtime. No score. And Max, like, gotta love soccer. I'm like, no, this is football.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. It's football championship. What the heck?
This is middle school, eighth grade football championships. 4 overtimes yesterday.
That's awesome. Parents
were into it. I mean, it was really just a cool scene. So congratulations again to the kids at California Trail for winning that thriller in overtime yesterday against PT. I think it's Pioneer Trail is who they were playing.
What time did that game start?
3:45.
What time did it get over?
About 6 o'clock.
Good.
Wow. Right. Yeah. And they're 8-minute quarters. You know, you would think these things would move on, but
because they can run out of daylight.
We're getting to that point.
I was going to say, where they just, it's over.
Yeah, I said to one of the dads, I'm like, we don't have much more time because there's no lights out here right now. We got to get this thing moving and finish this thing up. So 4 overtimes, they win it. It was great.
You could have seen the comet in the western sky after leaving the game.
It was still light out, though. It was not dark enough. And by the time it got dark enough, you know, then you're at home, you know, doing whatever it is.
If you're looking for it, western sky, you'll see like an orangey star. That's Venus. Mm-hmm. Go to the right of it and you'll see a streaking star or a comet.
Is it out again tonight?
It will be. It'll be out all the way. It'll be at least visible. It will get lower. It'll get less visible throughout the week, but like Thursday is really your last real good chance to see it.
What time?
You want to get outside around, like, what I noticed last night is around 6:50, between 6:50 and 7 p.m.
Oh, okay.
All right. 6:50 and 7 p.m., and you can see that in the western
sky. How long does it last up there? Is it just like a one, and if you miss it, you miss it type
thing? Yeah, I mean, I went 2 times. I'm a nerd, dude. I love space. I went and drove around at 6:45, and I could see it. It looked like the plane vapor.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
And then I went back at like 7:15, and it was gone.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's out there, though.
Yeah.
The western skyline. There's Venus to the left, and then to the right, you'll see the little streak. And you can see it with the naked eye, but if you have binos or binoculars, as people call them.
Do you have binoculars for
of
this?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have binoculars for a different reason, because when
I was Peeping Tom or something?
Yes. Yeah. When I did college sports, I was the play-by-play announcer for Warrensburg High School. And my spotter didn't have binoculars. So I had some, and I kept my backpack ever since. And then, you know, started going to Royals games, Chiefs games, would, you know, go down there, see who's in the bullpen, tell Vern, be like, hey, they got so-and-so's up. Okay, thanks, man. Appreciate it. So, but then I realized that they would just get on the PA system.
Yeah, like you didn't have to do that.
So-and-so's warming up in the bullpen right now. Okay.
Yeah. Vern's like, thanks for sharing that information. But if you can get it to him first, then you can break that news.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can say, as first reported by Josh Vernier.
From the text line, Bob, did you hear Cody calling you out for searching up OnlyFans on your computer?
I wasn't think that's searching a true story. That up, but I don't even open the internet browser on the computer.
I was say it's just literally on the Rush the Field screensaver.
Yeah, it's Binkley. That's all I got on there, yeah.
Who's more successful on OnlyFans, Binkley or Cody Tapp?
Binkley. Yeah.
Cody could sing.
Yeah, but Bink and Chew.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch me fill this cup full of spit for 4 hours. Donate in the lower right corner, and I'll get you a shout out on the air. Don't forget, Mac and Drew Nixon host After Hours tonight from 7 to 9. Oh, you want to tune into those hot takes? But you have some Royals content one last time before we wrap the season up, I think.
You know, I was kind of scouring the interwebs yesterday, and this is where I'm like, okay, let me see what these people are saying, right? And the headline got me. Three dream offseason moves the Royals can make.
Please tell me one doesn't say Juan Soto.
No.
Okay.
No. Number three. You tell me if these are dream moves, okay? Again, sometimes I think these things are written by AI because it comes from MSN.com.
Mm.
Number three. Elevating top prospects to the MLB, first of all, the MLB, would be a solid choice going forward. That's number three in dream moves for the Royals this offseason.
Okay.
Number two. You ready?
Yep.
Adding a closer would be the best decision for the Royals this winter.
Mm-hmm.
We got one of those. Okay. And number one, adding a middle infielder to pair with Bobby Witt would be perfect for Kansas City.
A middle infielder. So
first of all, any of those.
Well, Massey's going to play second.
Right.
Bobby's going to play short. So they're looking at maybe.
That's correct. That's it. There's no. Stop trying to figure it out. This to me is obviously clickbait, a waste of everybody's time using AI. This is the problem with AI, is they peddle junk and crap like this. That doesn't make any sense. Three dream moves for the Royals. Juan Soto is a dream move, right?
Right.
Anthony Santander, that's a dream move. Going out and getting Blake Snell, that's a dream move. This AI-generated article said that they should promote guys from the minor leagues, find a middle infielder for Bobby Witt, and get a closer. They have Lucas Ursig under contract for like the next century. Like, I think his contract's longer than Bobby Witt's. They don't need a middle infielder because Michael Massey's really good at second base. And who from the minor leagues are you promoting, and at what position right now are you bringing somebody up? Like, dream moves to me, more like stupid moves. Like, that, I mean, obvious nonsense that's being peddled out there for the Royals. Like, if I were to say to you, what's your dream move this offseason for the Royals? What's your answer to that question?
I think they need to address third base, and I think they need to address the outfield.
Yeah.
Which, from what we heard yesterday from J.J. Piccolo's audio that he addressed to the media after the season-ending season press conference, they want to add a leadoff hitter / right fielder, but obviously I think they also kind of let some undertones of MJ Melendez is still a part of this team.
That's exactly right.
So I think MJ Melendez is still your left fielder, like it or not, roll your eyes, whatever. Baseball's still like 164 days away for starting spring training. But I think what the Royals look at right now, at least going into next season, MJ Melendez will be your left fielder.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Right field, I think that's where they look to add something. Renfro has an $8 million option he could pick up. I think he does. I don't think he gets more than that in the trade market or the free agency market. So he would be back as well. Tommy Pham, obviously, going to be gone from the team. But I think if my dream scenario, I think you go find a right fielder, and then maybe you kind of see what Lance Bregman's market is at third base.
Oh, I don't hate that.
I know that's a name that pisses a lot of people off due to the allegation that Houston had with cheating.
Everybody cheats.
Right, except the Chiefs. And they just have the refs.
Right.
But I think that's a name, that's a guy that could come to a team that has like that veteran leadership, who maybe it's time to move on from Houston. Like, they kind of had their last hurrah, I think, this year. I know they have some talent within that system. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Alvarez and Altuve is going to play until he can't, obviously. But you look at, like, Lance Bregman's not going to come back. They gave him, like, the whole swan song thing.
And
in his
he
last
said
game.
On Twitter he was done. Yeah. Thank you, Houston, and all that.
So he's a third baseman that could add a little bit of pop in your bat in the middle of the order.
I don't hate that lineup at all, or that move.
When it comes to your minor league system, your number one prospect is obviously Jack Caglione. He's 21 years old. He was drafted this year. He's 6'5". He can pitch. He can play first base. He can DH. But again, you look at yourself and you think, where does he fit on this team, and is he better than what we currently have? Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez, right? The other big prospect.
And so if there's an opportunity to potentially trade him, mm-hmm. then that's something you do need to consider, you know?
And the other big name prospect is Blake Mitchell.
Yeah.
Who's their catcher.
Right.
But again, you look at what the season is. You have Frank Firmino, who's up for a Gold Glove Award. You have Salvador Perez, who's still going to catch. And then if you want to say, well, move him to first base, then that takes away your Jack Caglione, Vinny Pasquantino thing. And I was thinking of a perfect thing last night as I was watching a little bit, just a little bit of the Yankees game.
Mm-hmm.
If Vinny Pasquantino's ceiling is Anthony Rizzo, are you happy?
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was watching Anthony Rizzo last night.
Kind of good.
Kind of the same similarities, right?
Yeah.
Left-handed first baseman, also going through some metacarpal phalange issues.
Could you imagine catching the baseball? The other night, Jazz Chisholm fired one over there like a rocket, and he's got these busted fingers. He got picked off last night. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, it wasn't unlucky.
Yeah.
But I guess I can still hold on to that because I have sour grapes.
But you know what? That's good moving in the next season. The rivalry aspect of things. I like that, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing is like, that's what's beautiful about having a couple of prospects that can be, you know, Blake Mitchell at one point was their number one prospect.
No doubt.
And he essentially was the guy that was going to take over the reins for Salvador Perez. Now, if he's better than Freddie Fermin, which Freddie Fermin had a good year, but it was in a smaller sample size than like a lot of people would like to see. Like, we didn't see Freddie Fermin at all.
And maybe
that
that's the best sample size though for Freddie Fermin, right? You don't want to overexpose guys like Johnny Giavitella, Whit Merrifield. Like, you start to overexpose guys and then they come back to the pack a little bit. The way that they use the rotation, if you want to call it that, at catcher with Freddie Fermin and Salvador Perez worked brilliantly. I don't think you change that at all because there is that possibility of overexposing Freddie Fermin. And then at the end of the season, he wasn't as good as he was for the majority of the year.
And then a dark horse name that maybe some people forget about that could be a possibility to try out and trot out there in right field. It could be something of good as Gavin Cross. Because Gavin Cross has been in your system for a little bit, not super long, but he's been in there.
Well, Garcia could play the outfield. I know JJ said that the other day, and I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that, but I'll be honest with you. Michael Garcia has been talked about in the past at playing some of those outfield spots, and if you can move him to the outfield and keep his bat at the lower part of the lineup and find a third baseman, that's a good move for you, I think.
Right. Or some people on the text line say maybe Caglione will play right field. Maybe since he's a pitcher and has a strong arm and you need a strong arm in right field, as sometimes you do. I mean, obviously you want your arm in left field. And then somebody says, you know, no way MJ Melendez left fielder would be a massive blow to the team, a massive fail. Look, I think that's what they see him as.
I think as of right now, you have to consider MJ being part of the organization.
Unless he's packaged in a deal like you would think that maybe you put Singer and MJ in a package deal and you're like, or it's, you know, a massive deal, and it's MJ, Singer, and Freddie Fermin.
Yeah.
Knowing what you have in your minor league system, knowing what you have on your active roster, and then you go get, like, a, you know, big-name starter. You go get, you know, like, somebody that could come to this
team. You make that next trade like you did with Zach Greinke. And I think that could be something that happens, you know, this offseason. And I was thinking about it the other day. The rest of 2024, the final couple months of this calendar year. We got, you know, November, December, you know, 2.5 months to go. I think it's more important for the Royals than it is for the Chiefs, quite frankly, because the Royals are going to start the offseason the week after the World Series ends. So, you know, November 7th-ish or something like that. Basically, the same day as the NFL trade deadline is when we're going to start kind of the offseason in Major League Baseball. And that's going to set the entire tone for the 2025 season, whether it's trades or signing, roster adjustments, all that kind of stuff. All that gets put into motion, you know, before the holiday season. All that happens, then the winter meetings happen, and a lot of stuff gets done at the winter meetings. The Chiefs right now for the rest of 2024 are just getting ready for the playoffs, right? Their season begins in January of 2025. But the Royals, I don't think they can afford to be quiet. The expectation is high, right? Like, if you were to ask the average Royals fan right now, which we all are, Mac, Dusty, Bob, what is your expectation right now for the Royals next season? It's to build on what they did this season, right? It's not to fall back to 100 losses or anything like that. It's to build on what you did next season. And I think as of right now, your expectation as a Royals fan should be win the division. That's the next step that you need to take. And you have to find a way to put yourself in the best possible position to win the division, because the White Sox, I promise you, you're not going to go 12-1 against the White Sox next year. They're just going to get better. Guys have more experience now, and they're going to allegedly improve the I don't know what, but you can't count on going 12-1 against the White Sox.
No, they're going 13-0.
Right, exactly. They could go 13-0, right? But you can't count on going 12-1 against the White Sox. They will be a better team. You made a lot of hay doing that, so you have to get better as well. The expectation is out there. Ownership has showed us they're willing to spend. JJ has showed us he's willing to go out there and make these moves. So I think these next couple of months, the final months of 2024, are much more important for the Royals and their future than it is for the Chiefs. We'll worry about the Chiefs and what is important for them once January 25 gets here and we've got the playoffs started.
And again, this was JJ that we played yesterday. Listen closely as you can kind of hear those little subtle notes of what the team's going to do next year.
You know, generally speaking, when you're looking at left field, right field, that's where you're thinking about. They're your power guys, you know, and we know this ballpark doesn't lend itself to homers, but it does lend itself to slug. So we've got to be more productive there. And that's where I think being optimistic about some of the guys that we have and looking at the experience they have, I think that's fine. Like we shouldn't be writing guys off because they're in their third year in the major leagues.
That's your MJ line.
Yeah.
That's your 1,000% MJ line. He'll continue.
It takes some years to become good major league hitters. Now, along the way, that doesn't mean what Q was able to do this year. You don't help them along. You help them succeed. You know, you don't put them in positions where they're going to fail. So if a left-handed hitter gets a left-handed pitcher, you want to have a right-handed side of that. And if that's how we have to go for the next year or two before guys really become everyday guys, that's the way we'll have to do it. But, you know, clearly, you know, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, you know, if Vinny doesn't get hurt, we got three guys over 100 RBIs. I think we would have been the only team in baseball that would have had three over 100 RBIs. They're carrying the lion's share of the offense and the production, and that's okay. So that should take more pressure off of the back end of the lineup. But again, the outfield is a spot that we need to be more productive.
I just got a text from somebody who scouts baseball players for a living, mm-hmm. and they said Blake Mitchell may be Joe Mauer.
Jesus.
I mean, so.
Okay. Hall of Fame catcher?
That type of player, right?
I mean, he's a top prospect in our system, like in the Royals system. I mean, he was there, and then Jack Caglione got drafted, and he's just like, if Jack Caglione is 1A,
right.
Blake Mitchell is 1B, and it ain't that big of a gap.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, if you have potentially a guy that could be your next Joe Mauer, which is a 30-year catcher for you, mm-hmm. that's a, you know, obviously a Hall of Famer, maybe you don't want to look to trade him. But they need to get some bats. That lineup just wasn't long enough, as we saw in the postseason. Once you got past Salvi, there really wasn't much out there. And so I think JJ knows and understands you got to go out and get a bat this offseason. And I think you're going to have to spend that money most likely in free agency. And you may have to overspend, but again, that's the cost of doing business. I love Anthony Santander. That's the guy that's a top of my list. Mm-hmm. I've loved that guy for the last couple of years just watching Baltimore play. I think he'd be a nice fit. I think the fans would love him here in Kansas City.
And then some people from the A1-6, they bring back Waka. Look, Waka has a huge decision. I was talking like
big
this.
Time decision
I was talking about this last night with my buddy. And this is the thing about Michael Waka. He's got a $16 million option that he can pick up. And I've listened to Vern and I've listened to other baseball people as well. And like the smart thing for him to do would be to test the market.
No question.
But what we say is smart might be different to other people. Michael Waka is towards the end of his career. The reason Michael Waka is on the Royals roster is because of Seth Lugo. I think we can agree that Seth Lugo is not going anywhere. Seth Lugo and Michael Waka had a conversation. Hey, you're going to love Kansas City. Come check it out. It's a good place. The organization's nice. Everything here seems to be what we wanted in San Diego. Lugo comes here. Michael Waka comes here. Michael Waka is at the end of his career. He's won a World Series. He's won a World Series MVP. He's had lots of fortunate time in the MLB. Maybe also, let's just put this here, maybe he's tired of moving his family. Maybe he likes it in Kansas City. He's like, you know what? I'll take that option for $16 million. I'll play one more year. This team is really doing the right thing, going in the right direction. We were this close to getting to the ALCS. I think I might just stick around and play one more year and call it a day and resign in Kansas City because he's lived in St. Louis. He's lived in Kansas City. Do the best of both worlds, and maybe he just sticks it out. Again, that's wishing in one hand and crapping in the other to see which one fills up faster, but there's also that sort of hypothetical to think about with Michael Waka as well.
And look, that's a logical way to approach it, but I would, if I saw Michael Waka and he just picked up his team option, I go, you're a fool. You've got to decline that team option if you're Michael Waka, and I believe that he will decline that team option because you do owe it to yourself. You got one last opportunity, truly, to go out there and see what your worth is on the open market. And I don't think declining the player option means he's done with Kansas City at all.
That just means he might be able to get that more means, from the Royals as well.
Exactly. Like, if you're Michael Waka, the advice that I would give to him as his agent, decline the player option.
Of course.
Let's see what you're worth on the open market. You're coming off a great season. People are going to want to spend money. Pitching's a premium in Major League Baseball. There may be an offer out there you can't refuse. Or the Royals may come to the table and say, hey, before we even get to the end of the season, which is, you know, the beginning of November, let's talk about, you know, getting rid of this option and extending you for 2 years and giving you a third as a player option after that. And that may be something where Waka goes, you know what? I kind of like that. I like where I am right now. Mm-hmm. You're showing me the love. I don't have to worry about all the rigmarole of the free agent process. I can sign a 2-year extension, essentially buying out that player option, giving me 2 more guaranteed years and then a third year of as an option year. That's something I think Michael Waka could do here in Kansas City. But if I'm Michael Waka, I am 1,000% declining that player option because you owe it to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to sometimes bet on yourself. And I think all of us in our careers, no matter what it is that you'd like to do, you'd love to be in that position that Michael Waka is in right now, where you're coming off a great year and you know that there's going to be people out there that want you and want to pay you big time money. So that's the advice I would give to Michael Waka. One way or the other, he's going to get a nice paycheck, whether it's in Kansas City or somewhere else.
And I didn't know this, but according to the text line, he's from Iowa. So he's a Midwestern guy.
All right.
Maybe he likes Kansas City that much, because what we've seen is that Kansas City is on the come.
Yeah. Right?
Like, a lot of people like to come here, be here,
yeah,
stay here, not go anywhere. Got a franchise in football that's really good. Got a franchise in baseball that's upticking to be successful. Got a successful women's soccer team. Got a lot of stuff going on in Kansas City, and maybe some people just want to stay here and stick it out. Never know.
Got a text from somebody who says, I was sitting next to Waka's dad at the game the other night, right?
Oh.
He said his dad says he likes it a lot here and will be here next year. Said they will likely pick up the option, but he'll need to add at least a year. So there you go.
So there you go.
You give Michael Waka a little bit of scratch at the end. He's not going to pick up the $16 million option just for that. I'll pick up this option, but give me another year, another 2 years at the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
One of those type of things.
I'll take that contract. Make it like $22 million for 2 years. I don't know. Do what you got to do, because he was a staple in this organization and in that rotation.
He was great. Yeah, he's a good veteran, man.
This is where we get the text line involved, 913-586-7965. Today is International Boss Day, or National Boss Day, I should say. National Boss Day. Who's your all-time favorite boss?
Steven Spector.
There you go. His light just turned on in the office when you said that. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. Text line 913-586-7965. Who is your all-time favorite boss, as today is National Boss Day in the United States of America? This is 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey with you on this wonderful Wednesday, as it is still chilly, 35 degrees. Potato soup hit the spot last night.
Is it 35 only outside?
So my watch says 35. Oh, says it'll be 40 degrees at 9, 48 at 10, 57 by noon.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Wow, 38 degrees.
How you doing?
But it's supposed to be in the 70s all weekend long. It's going to be a beautiful weekend.
Kiss my ass, mosquitoes. You're dead.
Mosquitoes suck.
You're dead, you blood-sucking insects.
Thank goodness for Ned Yost. I got one of those thermocells that sit outside. Mm. You know, it's kind of expensive, but it works and keeps those mosquitoes away. I also wear these bands, these bug bead bands that keep the mosquitoes away. So
right.
Then I rub some of that stuff on me.
913-586-7965. Today is National Boss Day.
What'd you get, Steven?
Nothing.
Me and Bob... combined for a present. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't
want in on that.
Yeah.
Oh. Weird. I guess he didn't check his text yesterday.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, well, when you get 75 in about an hour,
that's right.
You kind of scroll fast.
It's all middle school football.
That's right. Yeah.
What'd you guys get the boss?
I can't tell you.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Bag of dung.
Oh. Well, that's not nice.
Never mind. I wasn't in on that.
Yeah. No, should have read your text, Mac. Yeah. We kind of go through lists of boss or who's, you know, the best boss ever.
Yeah.
Don Corleone is coming in on the text line. Tony Danza is
that's a good one. The boss. He tried to fight me at the American Royal 1 year, so I'm out on Tony Danza.
Ron Swanson.
Was he a boss or was he just like a guy getting by?
Isn't he the same as Michael Scott?
I don't think so.
It's not the same, but no. he's like a managerial role.
Yeah. But like Michael Scott was cringe, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't think, you know, guy from Parks and Rec was cringe at all.
Swanson?
Swanson was, you know, some Swansons are, but not him. I thought he was a great character. Michael Scott was a great character, but completely different, I think.
Yeah. Somebody from the 913 says, give a shout out to my old boss, Sean Duke, back when I worked at the Marriott Hotel.
There you go. Sean Duke is a good dude, man. That guy, I'm serious. Like, people love Duke, man. People talk about him all the time.
From the 785, I got my old boss, Scott Pioli, a candy bar wrapper.
Okay.
Yep. Dwight Schrute, when he became the boss.
Man, for that hot minute right
like
there,
like a day
right?
or something.
Yeah, yeah. I got boss Tom Pendergast on the list. Made Kansas City what it is today. You got to put him high on the list. Then, of course, Tony Soprano coming in as a great boss as well.
Yeah.
And then Springsteen makes my list as well. I'm sure he makes your list too, right?
Come on, number one.
Yeah, got to be, right?
It's like, you know, the gap between quarterbacks in the NFL. That's
Patrick
the gap
Williams
between
everybody
bosses.
Else. Yeah.
It's Bruce Springsteen, major gap. Another boss of mine, which will get the wrestling nerds happy, is Dwayne The Rock Johnson as the final boss. I know you guys have no idea what that means, but in this past run of wrestling, they had a bloodline, which was Roman Reigns and the Uso brothers and all them, and then The Rock was the final boss for Cody Rhodes and company to face at WrestleMania. So he considered that his new role as he was a heel. As we all know, heels are better for sports than faces are. And the final boss is a good role for The Rock. And then another boss for me that I don't know if you guys, I know Mac wasn't even alive, which is crazy to think. I was very young, but this is probably my close to favorite boss of all time.
Mr. Dumbass, I can bring a lot to Dumbass and Dumbass. I'm a go-getter. Dumbass material all the way. So, am I your man, Mr. Dumbass?
The name is Dumas.
I still love that A&W commercial, man. I haven't had a root beer float in a while, and doing that commercial in the break and cutting that audio made me want a root beer float, man. Am I your man, Mr. Dumbass? The name is Dumas. I think that was a Super Bowl commercial, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
It had to have been like during one of those Buffalo and Dallas Super Bowls. Yeah. One more time.
Mr. Dumbass, I can bring a lot to Dumbass and Dumbass. I'm a go-getter. Dumbass material all the way. So, am I your man, Mr. Dumbass?
The name is Dumas.
That's your fault, though, for spelling it that way.
D-U-M-A-S-S.
So that was 1990.
Is that when it came out?
Is it really? So 1990?
I was three, so that was definitely a Cowboys Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the Giants or the Redskins
at
the time.
That was the Giants beating the Bills was 1990.
So it was the Bills somewhere in there. They went 4 years in a row and never won.
Right.
That always brings up a great question.
Would you rather go 4 years in a row and never win? Or
never go?
Never go.
Never go.
Never go.
No.
Yeah, I'd rather never go.
4 years in a row and never win?
What's your answer?
4 years in a row.
Oh, you would?
Yeah. Wow. At least I got there, man.
No.
Oh, man. No.
I got there.
I don't know. There's something to be said about knowing you stink and then getting obliterated in three of the four Super Bowls and missing the first opportunity by a wide right. Mm. Oh, my God. The heartbreak. Mm.
Rick Ross is a good boss. Saw him live at Kelsey Jam a couple years ago. That was fantastic.
Yeah, he was fun.
That was great. White on rice. I can't sing that word anymore. The Mighty Mighty Boss Stones.
That's a good one. That's funny. It makes me laugh.
Knock on wood, man.
Never had to knock on wood.
Were they ahead of their time or perfectly there?
I think perfectly there. That was a good 90s band, man.
Yeah, it was.
That was a really good 90s band.
Like, I feel
like that ska music back in the day.
Them, Blues Traveler, Counting Crows, like all those 90s bands. I feel like Blues Traveler would be very popular today in the genre that I listen to.
John Popper lost a ton of weight, dude.
Yeah, had to, man.
Yeah.
Sitting back there playing the harmonica.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or sitting up front.
Right. That was kind of that era of that, like that swing rock type of music that was like the, Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Mm.
Do you ever listen to them back in the day?
No, but I remember, what was it? Zoot Suit Riot.
Zoot Suit Riot. Yep.
Big Poppin' Cherry Daddies, I think was their name.
Yeah. Zoot Suit Riot, throw back a bottle of beer.
What the hell? Big Poppin' Cherry
Daddies. Something like that,
See if that's their name. I'm pretty sure.
Cherry Poppin' Daddies. Cherry Poppin' Daddies, yes. That's exactly
what it was. That's kind of a dirty name. I think
now that you think about it, now that you say it out loud, I think,
Okay. Zoot Suit Riot.
Riot!
Throw me a bottle of beer. Man, now that I think about that name, I should probably not say
that
on the air.
Yeah. Try Squirrel Nut Zippers. That's a good one, too.
You ever got caught in a zipper?
One time.
Oof. Yeah, brutal.
Once.
You too, once? So we've all had it once?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, once you do that, you never do. I mean, no.
If you do it again, you're just into it, which is weird.
Weird, man. Just weird.
I like pain.
Yeah, let me zip this up. What?
Andy Sandberg, like a boss. Somebody says Hugo.
Hugo Boss.
Yeah. Very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Carlson at WKRP.
That's good. It's a good one. Better than most radio executives to this day, I would say, right? Steven? A kid.
Yeah.
Bowser. Arthur Carlson was
Bowser's
turkeys.
A good boss.
Bowser's a good boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bowser's good. I can't beat him on Mario Golf right now.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, in 64, he's one of the characters I can't beat right now. He's tough. Well,
that's fun.
That man doesn't leave a birdie outside of 10 feet. He's tough, dude. Oh, man. Yeah. Boss Hogg. That's another one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That could go different ways, too.
Yeah.
That'd be like Patrick Mahomes' name in the playoffs.
Boss.
Boss Hogg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Big Boss Man. Shout out to the Wrestling Federation there, who once was hanged from a cage. They don't do that anymore.
No.
That's on Netflix. You know that? WWE went to Netflix.
It did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it live?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's live.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pour one out for Lundberg. Gonna need you to come in. Yeah.
He's dead?
I don't think so. I just think that he was a boss.
Oh.
There you go.
Nate Hackett is now officially Milton, though, right?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. Get his skateboard in the bottom boiler room office.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. You wanna think he's seen it?
Not a chance.
Which one is this?
Office Space.
I was going to guess that. I've not seen it, but I was going to guess that. My brothers and dad love that. I've not seen it. So.
But you see, what would that be akin to us, though, going, you didn't see that, like, from, like, The Jerk or something? I mean.
No, because I saw The Jerk.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that age gap, right?
Because I don't know if there's a movie. Because you can't really, like, make up movies. Like Matt could be like, have you guys seen this movie? Be like, of course. Like, you just watched Heavyweights the other day for the first time. Yep. I told you to watch that. Yep. Classic.
That was great, dude. That was
fantastic.
So fun.
I haven't seen that. You haven't seen Heavyweights? Do you have Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Go home and watch it.
It's fun. It's a fun hour and a half.
Okay.
It's good.
It's not long. Ben Stiller's characters. It's just so absolutely, good. It's insane. Tony Perkis. Yeah, if you haven't watched Heavyweight, you'll love Heavyweights.
Okay.
It's all a right. fun one.
I'm not going to camp with all those fat loads. Can't say that anymore on Disney. I guarantee you that much. That is a line in the movie. Coming up on the other side, we dive into the 9 o'clock hour. And we say, why haven't the Chiefs done anything yet? Bob will tell you why here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five, The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.